Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Blogger Jenny Lawson called upon a few of her biggest fans to make the trailer for her new memoir. Let's pretend this never happened.
Hi, I'm Jenny Lawson.
Hi, I'm Jenny Larson. I mean, Lawson.
My name's Jenny Lawson.
No, actually, my name is Jenny Lawson.
Really?
Yes, really, actually. I've written a whole book about my life as a poverty-stricken, mentally unbalanced girl raised by my father, a taxidermist, in poverty-stricken, dangerously violent rural Texas.
Author Neil Gaiman there, along with his wife, musician Amanda Palmer, and the actors Will Wheaton and Jerry Ryan, all claiming to be Jenny Lawson in a YouTube video that's been viewed more than 70,000 times. Jenny Lawson is the writer behind the blog S, which, besides attracting famous fans, averages close to 1 million views a month. Some of her wryly funny posts, including one about the impulsive purchase of a giant metal chicken, have gone hyper-viral millions of times over. Jenny's new memoir traces her distinct, irreverent voice back to its source, a barely believable childhood in West Texas, without much running water, but no shortage of strange stories involving animals, both alive and dead. And she joins us now on the line. Jenny, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
It's so nice to be here. How are you?
I'm very well. And I found the book just so funny, gut-splittingly funny in many instances. Even from the beginning, you describe your childhood as David Copperfield meets Guns and Ammo magazine.
Exactly.
Now, I know you weren't made to work at a blacking factory, so what was David Copperfield meets Guns and Ammo for you?
I'm going to say, let's see, for the most part, you know, we occasionally didn't have running water, and when we did have running water, the water was poisoned, so there's that. And, you know, we didn't have air conditioning and heating growing up, and heating wasn't so bad, but in Texas, no air conditioning was, like, almost the end of the world.
Mm.
We grew up pretty poor, although I have to say that, to my parents' credit, I really didn't realize just how poor we were. I really just, you know, thought, well, we don't need, you know, running water that won't kill you when you swallow it. That's not something you need. That's a luxury, you know, that you get when you become a millionaire.
There's so many stories in the book that you admit that most people don't believe. Your father was a taxidermist, and yep. You tell a story about the time he brought a magical talking squirrel into your bedroom. Can you relay that for us?
Sure. Well, what happened was I was probably about 8, and my sister was about 5, and my father was always bringing home really bizarre things like porcupines in tires and baby bobcats and raccoons wearing clothes and things like that. And he came into our room in the middle of the night, and he had a Ritz cracker box, and I was actually very happy that he woke me up for that because we never had brand name food in the house, so it was a nice, pleasant surprise. But then he opened it up, and instead there was a squirrel, which seemed anticlimactic for him. But then he told us that this was a magic squirrel, which we didn't buy at all, until he talked to the squirrel and would tell the squirrel what's 2 + 3, and the squirrel would raise his tiny little squirrely paw 5 times and basically convinced us. And that was when I knew for sure that we were going to get out of this tiny little town. We were going to be rich. I was going to name this magical squirrel Stanley. We were going to have berets made for him and little vests, and he was going to be awesome. And it was right at that moment that my father ripped open the Ritz cracker box, and I noticed that Stanley's little stomach was distended in a really bizarre way, and that his little back paws were hanging awfully limply, and that's when I realized that this squirrel was roadkill that my father had just cut open and made into a hand puppet.
But he gets an A for effort, doesn't he?
He does. Let me tell you, it was very realistic. It was bloody and horrific, and that was pretty much the beginning of the end for me, where I was like, oh, we're not normal. We are not a normal family.
Well, being not normal is something you embrace and sort of, I would say, let's say, communicate loudly in your blog. And that's probably, you know, what has made you so popular. I mean, people find you irreverent and so funny. And your husband, Victor, he plays the kind of role of foil of sorts. And you describe him as a square Republican, not always enthusiastic about your inspirations.
Exactly.
Well, how does Victor feel about becoming your foil for millions of people? He's become popular as you.
I think it doesn't really bother him because for the most part, he doesn't really read the blog. He skimmed over the book. I mean, for the most part, it doesn't really affect him. The thing, though, that I think he is seeing that is different is that the people that he works with, they now read the blog. Mm. And so they know all of these, you know, inner jokes that only he assumed we knew. And so they would make these jokes. He would be like, how did you know that? It's like we have our house tapped. I mean, everybody knows everything. So.
And they probably know his real name.
They know Victor. His real name. Exactly.
Okay. We played a clip of your book trailer at the top there, and these celebrities who all pretend to be you. All of them have really strong line presences, and you know, it almost lends itself to kind of a meme. You know, anyone could pretend to be you.
Right.
I'm wondering, now that you're so in the middle of the pack, you're blogging, you're tweeting, you're getting instant feedback, do you think about how to inspire the next meme or viral post?
I really don't. It just kind of happens naturally. You know, it's funny because with each one of the people that ended up on that video, from Will Wheaton to Neil Gaiman and Jerry Ryan, and, you know, each one of those people, there was something bizarre that happened that started out the relationship with that person that I never would have guessed would have led to me actually, you know, meeting them and becoming friends with them. So it really is like I'm falling backward into the strange life that I have, which really is what the book is about.
Right. Bizarre beginnings seems to be a theme for you.
Yes. Bizarre accidental beginnings.
We're talking with Jenny Lawson, known to millions of her fans on her blog and on Twitter as The Bloggess. She's written a new memoir, actually. It's called Let's Pretend This Never Happened. And she says it's a mostly true memoir.
Right.
You're so candid in the book and on your blog about what really is a crippling anxiety disorder, and you also suffer from depression. You've written about self-harm. Would you be the bloggess without these struggles? I mean, is reaching out online easier than going out and interacting in the real world for you?
I think it absolutely is. I think the internet has given me the opportunity to sort of meet people and get out there without actually having to leave my house. I am a bit of a hermit in real life. I'm a little bit agoraphobic. I have extreme anxiety disorder, which is making the book tour quite difficult, and I am very well medicated, thank God. But, you know, what's really great about the internet is that, first of all, it brings together so many people that are like me, who feel as if they were, you know, kind of misfits for their entire life and never really fit in. And so when I shared that I do have anxiety disorder and panic attacks, I was amazed at, first of all, how many people were extremely supportive, but also how many people said, me too, and I've never said that before to anyone else, or, you know, my mom has it, or my child has it, and I thought she was the only one, and I was so embarrassed about it. And there's something very freeing and wonderful about being able to say, I have this issue and I own it completely. It's what also has been very nice is that if I'm having a panic attack, I can actually get on Twitter and say, I think I'm about to have a panic attack. I need somebody to tell me it's going to be okay. Can you walk me down from it? Can you talk me down from this? And people will get on, and like 1,000 people saying, it's okay, this happened to me yesterday too, keep breathing, we're here for you. And suddenly you realize that you're not alone even when you are alone.
Right, and you have support from so many. But it's interesting because you seem fearless in a way. I mean, your book is very poignant when you talk about carrying a baby to term, for example, after losing to your mental illness, as we mentioned, and maybe most surprisingly, the level of affection that threads beneath your snarky stories about Victor. I wonder if this is a love letter to him of sorts.
It absolutely is. It's a love letter to my entire family. And my biggest hope with the book is that people can see that you know, I do have a tendency. I mean, the book itself is a humor book, and it's, you know, sort of a dark satire for, I always say, a dark satire for intellectual misfits. But at heart, it is a love story to my family, to my husband and my daughter, to sort of thank them for all of those moments that we wanted to pretend never happened, those moments that actually made me who I am today.
I know you have to wrap for another interview, but, you know, mostly true. Anything so crazy that you decided not to include it in the book?
So much. There were so many stories that were so fabulous, but I could not find photographic proof of them, and I just thought no one's going to believe them. And that's the reason why there are so many pictures in the book.
Yeah, you really presage the new media area by having pictorial records of.
I absolutely did, because I was like, no one is going to believe this. And it's funny because people always say, but that's not true, is it? And I mean, really, the things that I changed were like some names and things to protect, especially like in some of the drug chapters. And you know, every time somebody says, but that's not true, it usually is not only extraordinary. True, but it usually was even worse than I explained it.
Well, a very entertaining read, just like the blog, and I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jenny Lawson, the bloggess. She's a blogger, columnist, and now author of Let's Pretend This Never Happened, a mostly true memoir. There's much more in the book, including the book trailer that we mentioned, and also a link to our previous conversation with Jenny about that famous giant metal chicken, named Beyonce, by the way. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, Gaming the Forest, a new app gives users Farmville-style incentives to encourage people to look at trees. So we'll go a few paces beyond tree hugging when Word of Mouth continues.